Hello, this is Ryan Underwood, business editor at Vanderbilt University's Owen Graduate School of Management. This week, hedge fund manager William Ackman, a major shareholder in Borders Group, said he'd be willing to finance a $960 million bid for the company's purchase of bookstore rival Barnes & Noble. But Luke Frobe, an Owen professor and former high-ranking economist at the U.S. Federal Trade Commission, sees regulatory roadblocks ahead. Luke, can you start by describing the regulatory outlook for a potential deal between Borders and Barnes & Noble?
The Justice Department, or the FTC more likely, would review this merger and be concerned about the loss of bricks and mortar competition. This reminds me a lot of a merger that I reviewed when I was at the FTC between Blockbuster and Hollywood Video. Everybody, they came in and they said, look, we know, you know, this industry is under a lot of pressure. We've got Walmart selling DVDs. We've got video on demand on the cable systems, and we've got Netflix selling video through the mail. And so the video rent-tailing, the bricks and mortar stores like Hollywood and Blockbuster, were under a lot of pressure, a lot of competitive pressure. And they said, look, you know, it's we're not going to exist in the form that we do today in 5 years. But same problem was, there was the current competition, the video rent-tailing competition between Blockbuster and Hollywood Video, still benefited consumers.
Both stores are under a lot of financial pressure. Does that give them any more regulatory leeway?
When the industry gets to the point where one of the firms is going to leave the industry anyway, then they qualify for an exception to the antitrust laws called the failing firm defense. And what that means is that you have to prove to the antitrust authority, either the FTC or the Department of Justice, you have to prove that you're going to fail, those assets are going to leave the industry without the merger, and you also have to prove that there's no less anti-competitive purchaser out there. So if there's somebody else who wants to buy these retail assets and keep either Barnes & Noble or Borders in the industry, you have to shop the assets and show that there's no less anti-competitive purchaser who's willing to keep the assets in the industry. And if you satisfy those two criteria, then the law has evolved to the point where they say, yeah, you can merge because the assets are going to leave the industry anyway. Why do we care if they merge? And the problem for Barnes & Noble and Borders is that they're losing money. Everybody knows they're under a lot of pressure, but they're not at the point where they would qualify for a failing firm defense. The assets aren't necessarily going to leave the industry. And who knows that if there's a less anti-competitive purchaser out there. So they'd have to do those two things. They'd have to shop the assets and prove to the bean counters that the assets were going to leave the industry in a short period of time. Because the agencies are going to be concerned, is they're going to say, look, why are we going to deprive consumers of the competition between these retail outlets?
Does it make any difference that Barnes & Noble has effectively put itself up for sale already?
No. There's lots of reasons why companies sell themselves. I mean, to the extent that the only reason it would matter is it may help inform the theory of the case. So the antitrust enforcers will look at the industry and try to figure out, what is this industry? How do these firms compete? How is this merger likely to change that competition? Are there any benefits from the competition? And sometimes the fact that they put it up for sale says something about the industry, but not typically. Another interesting aspect of this merger is that there certainly is probably economies of scale associated with the merger, and it's likely, although, you know, I haven't investigated this, and I obviously don't know that, don't have access to the internal information of the firms, and I'm not working on the merger, but it's likely that one of the firms has a better supply chain than the other, and they could go into the agencies and say, look, there's going to be some competition lost by this merger, and yeah, we can fix that. Maybe we could spin off a few stores, But there's huge benefits to this merger, and they could, and then they could demonstrate, look, we're going to be able to buy books through Barnes & Noble's supply chain. We don't have to use the inefficient Borders supply chain. And we can fire all the people who are working, who are currently comprise the Borders supply chain. And that's going to be a huge benefit to the merger. So that's going to be another aspect, a positive aspect of the merger that, that the agencies will look at favorably.
Do you see parallels with other industries such as newspapers or the music industry? I mean, there's that whole notion of consolidating down to one or two major players to fight off threats from new internet rivals.
Right. It's interesting. So I've worked on a lot of newspaper mergers in the past, and you see tremendous consolidation in the newspaper industry. And newspapers are getting killed on both sides of their profit equation. So they're getting killed on the circulation side because young people don't read newspapers. Immigrants don't read newspaper. You know, that, these are obviously gross overstatements, but on in general, non-English speaking people don't read newspapers as much as English speaking people, and young people don't read newspapers as much as old people. And so the newspapers are in declining demand on the readership side. In addition, they're getting killed on the ad side by online competitors like Yahoo and Google AdWords. And so I'm an auto parts store in Nashville, and I can either advertise on the sports page of the local daily newspaper, and that's a very, very imprecise way of measuring. I'm hitting a lot of eyeballs that don't want to buy a muffler. The alternative to that is I can buy search terms on Google AdWords for Nashville auto or Nashville muffler or Nashville brakes. And so people who are searching for that, and I can buy those searches for the zip codes or for the census tracts next to my store, and that's a much more targeted, more efficient way to advertise, and that's the pressure that newspapers are under. So they're getting killed both on the ad side and on the circulation side, and the parallels to books it's the same players that are providing the competitive threats. Google is coming out with its own ebook reader. It's better, faster, quicker, cheaper to buy books online and read them online. And you can see a lot of the same parallels.
So where do you think this potential merger will go now?
Here's the great thing about this is that nobody knows what's going to happen. When we were looking at the Blockbuster Hollywood Video merger, we all imagined that it would be Netflix or video on demand or videos sold through Walmart or other big retailers that was going to put those were the competitive threats. Nobody foresaw Redbox, and I think Redbox, you know, these vending machines that sell videos, that was the death knell for Blockbuster and Hollywood Video. There's a credible amount of Redbox, you know, like 100 a day are being, or something like that, are being produced and installed, and so the video rentailing is not going away, but the bricks and mortar stores are, and they're being replaced by vending machines. So that's, nobody foresaw that, and that's the great thing about competition, and that's what the regulators have to be really wary of. You don't want to go in and try to engineer an industry when you don't really know how it's going to evolve. And nobody really knows what's going to happen. I mean, technology is changing so fast and so quickly, and nobody knows where the threats are going to come from or how they're going to come. And you can imagine a lot of different things, a lot of different competitive threats to book retailing, but you know, bricks and mortar book retailing, nobody knows where it's going to be. And this is what Schumpeter called the gales of creative destruction. So when we see one industry disappear, we see another one pop up in its place. And the one message is that the only constant in kind of these competitive forces is change. And when we see the government get involved or try to engineer industry or try to save failing firms, they invariably pick the wrong technologies, or they can't foresee how things are going to evolve. And so the message that I would leave is that we don't want to, you know, as much as people wax nostalgic for their corner bookstore and the ability to walk in, sit down and, you know, read a book and pick up a book with their hands and smell the book and open it and read it, people say, oh, we ought to save this industry, save these firms. And well, sure, if you want to pay for it, but you pay through the nose for those inefficient small bookstores. And people have expressed, have revealed their preferences that they don't want that. And we ought to give people choices and let the market choose the winners and the losers, and not some government bureaucrat who's going to probably make the wrong choice.